Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Here's a national story. As COVID-19 cases wane, vaccine lagging areas still see a risk. So we do know that there are risks involved with places where the vaccine isn't being as administered in such in great numbers. Experts said some states are seeing increased immunity because they were high rates of natural spread of the disease, which so far had killed nearly 600,000 Americans. We certainly are getting some population benefit from our previous cases, but we paid for it, said the Mississippi State Health Director. Arizona's been in the same boat. We were one of the worst in the world for a while as far as rates of spread of COVID-19. But the survival of the majority of those people, the benefit of that, and I'm not saying it's as a good trade-off, but the silver lining on the backside of that is we had so many people here in the state of Arizona get COVID-19 that are now naturally carrying the antibodies. You mix that with the number of people that are vaccinated, and we have a very high percentage of people with antibodies. So we talk about having a 48% or whatever it is number of people in Arizona that are vaccinated. But you don't, that doesn't account for the people that have the antibodies because they've survived COVID-19. At the peak, we were seeing upwards of 30,000 doses a day being administered. Now that slowed down. I think it was overnight on Sunday, there were just under 20,000. So we're seeing a slowdown of the numbers. But they also talk about 50% of Maricopa County residents who are eligible for the vaccine have gotten at least one dose. The county aims to increase that number through the Take Care campaign launched last week. This is from a KTAR news story. But when you couple the number of people vaccinated with the number of people that are naturally carrying the antibodies, Arizona is in a very good place. It's why our numbers have been hovering around 5 or 6% positive test rate. It's why we are seeing the numbers go in the direction that they are going. The 20 to 44 year old age group, for a number of reasons, are the people that are getting it and spreading it, but they're not going to the hospital and they're not dying in great numbers. So the sense of urgency to get the vaccine is not there naturally. You couple that with that's prime age for working. These are people 20 to 44 years old. They are most likely to have a family that they have responsibilities for, working one or two jobs. And so the time they have to go and get vaccinated, it's not as easy as it is for retired people or for others. Now, myself, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and went down and got my vaccine, but I did it because I was one of the people that wanted to seek it out. The people that are not necessarily eager are the ones that they're concerned about now, getting them vaccinated. Well, convenience is going to play a major role in that. That's why you're seeing these pop-up vaccination sites in neighborhoods and in areas where they're doing vaccine drives for people. The sense of urgency is also going to come for people when they realize they have to realize for themselves that it's a positive thing for society. There have been, way too many mixed messages about the virus itself, not just the vaccine, but the virus itself and protocols. Nobody knows who to believe. So what we do is we lean one way or the other. I've always been leaning toward we have to open our economy. We have to do a better job of managing the virus while we get our economy back up and running. So naturally, I gravitate to those statistics that support that. So what I try to do is give the numbers, just all the numbers. And I do them every single day, except over the weekend I don't. On Monday, what I do is I compile the numbers from over the weekend. I look at them, but I don't write them down and add them up and subtract it. I do that when I'm here in the studio. And when you look at the numbers, it remains very consistent. The oldest among us are now the lowest infection rate. They are also the highest rate of hospitalization and the highest rate of death. Over the weekend, just so we understand, there were only 91 cases recorded over the weekend of people over the age of 65. Now, in contrast, over the weekend from Friday to Monday, there were 652 cases between 20 and 44 years old. Isn't that interesting? 652 cases, 11 hospitalizations, 0 deaths, 20 to 44. Keep that number in mind, because over 65, 91 cases, 21 hospitalizations, and 25 deaths recorded. So they are having the lowest rate of hospitalization. It's the only age group under 100 cases over the weekend. And yet they've got the highest rate of hospitalization and still the highest rate of death. So 20 to 44 years old, there's 652 cases. Obviously, almost seven times that of the people over the age of 65. But what's encouraging them to get vaccinated? If they're not getting severely ill and they're not dying and they've got families and they've got a work schedule and they've got things to do, you've got to figure out a way to get them a convenience. It's got to be a convenient thing for them. And that's what we should be working on. The urgency that it's necessary, sure. But for the people that would make the choice to do it, and again, I want to reiterate, I would never tell anyone that they have to get the vaccine. I would never tell anybody that they should get the vaccine. I am so neutral on this topic. I've taken heat from both sides on the vaccination issue. It's really funny. My friends and most of them that are people that won't get the vaccine, at least to my face, aren't judgmental. You know, they won't get it. They refuse to get it. But why do they care if I do? But there is a segment out there that calls you a sheep and you're this and you're that. And I'm sorry. It had nothing to do with any of that. I'm an outspoken critic of government control. I made the decision because of my life and my lifestyle. I mentioned last week being with a group in Mesa and being able for the first time speaking to a large group of people. It was so nice to not wear a mask. It was so nice to be able to hug people and shake hands and take pictures and feel confident that, A, I'm vaccinated, I'm not worried about you, and B, they didn't have to worry about me. Now, I don't know that anyone would have cared in that room. But for me, I want to be able to assure people if I'm ever invited to speak in a school again, if I'm invited to go anywhere, that I can go in with the confidence and say to people, I've been vaccinated, so I feel safe. That's why I made the choice. Had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with you know, being a sheep and doing what I'm told. It was a thoughtful thing for me. If we are going to convince people 20 to 44 years old that it's a good idea to do it, that's half the battle. The other half of the battle is making it convenient so that they can get it in a time frame that allows with their busy schedules. And that's the age group that is still far and away by the biggest numbers getting and spreading the virus. But the fact that they're not being hospitalized or dying in numbers really, I mean, you're talking about minuscule percentiles. There's no sense of urgency. And that's something we got to help with. I think that's something we've got to do a better job with. We're going to get you all caught up on the latest news stories of the day. We do it every day at 11:20 on the show. It's called Did You Hear This? We're going to get to it coming up in a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, every day at this time, we get you caught up in one quick segment of the show, all the big news stories of the day, because it moves so quick while you're working. Let's do it. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Suns in four?
Rebound Bridges underneath, gets the ball to DeAndre Ayton for a wham, bam, slam. And you can tell this one bye-bye, baby. And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals. They lead at 118-107.
Now the Suns get some time off before they take on either the Clippers or the Jazz. Do you prefer one or the other?
I just answered this question on Facebook. I would say the Clippers only because it gives the Suns home court advantage, which means games 1 and 2 would be in Phoenix. But I feel good about either team. The Suns are peaking at the right time. They're playing like a great team. They are instilling fear in the teams that they are playing. They swept the Jazz this year in the regular season, but regular season doesn't matter. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Denver Nuggets in the regular season and swept them. And 3 of the 4 games weren't even close. So it's a whole different ball game in the playoffs. I like the Suns' chances against either team, but always, always, always would love to have them at home for the first two. So for that reason alone, the Clippers. But other than that, it doesn't matter. I think they have the upper hand because they're going to get the rest they need. And man, how good is CP3? That guy is just the real deal.
We've got a new vaccine coming.
Novavax said its two-shot COVID-19 vaccine is highly effective, including when tested against variants. The Maryland-based biotechnology company said its vaccine is 90% effective against symptomatic disease and 100% effective against severe disease.
Listen, I'll take as many vaccines as we can get. But Arizona vaccination rates are slowing down. Are we falling behind?
Yeah, I think we're falling behind a little bit, but I think where we're in good shape is, it is, again, the silver lining. I talked about this earlier. Silver lining on a dark cloud. I don't wish we had the dark cloud, but since we did have the dark cloud of being the worst per capita rate in the world for a while, the silver lining is now we have so many people that are carrying the natural antibodies. So I think the key to this is going to be that 20 to 44-year-old age group getting convenience, getting them at their doctor's office whenever they want or at the pharmacies or at one of those pop-up locations, because I think the ones that would be vaccinated, convenience is going to matter. That's the age group we should target, and convenience matters more than anything else. And I think there will be people that want to get it done, and we'll get to that level we want, but maybe not as soon as we want. You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time. We catch you up on the biggest news stories of the morning. We've got a couple of more to go. What's next, Steve?
Several other states have sent lawmakers to Arizona to observe our election audit in hopes of replicating it in their own states. But Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland has a warning for anyone looking to audit elections.
Some jurisdictions, based on disinformation, have utilized abnormal post-election audit methodologies that may put the integrity of the voting process at risk and undermine public confidence in our democracy.
Sounds like they're going to be keeping tabs on states that want to do their own audits. You okay with that?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I didn't have a problem with what Arizona was doing at the very beginning, and I've been very outspoken about my disagreement with where we've gone. The federal government getting involved in elections in any individual state does worry me. Nothing can change the outcome of this past election. And I still think that when we were looking at this, if it would have given people peace of mind, it wasn't a bad thing. But long term, we will be fighting about this all the way into 2022. So if and when the Republicans regain the majority in the House or the Senate, are people going to believe the results, or are they going to be calling that rigged as well? Have we opened a Pandora's box? That's a bigger question. But what did you think that was going to happen with the Department of Justice? What did you think the Biden administration was going to do? Did you think that they were just going to sit back and allow this to happen? We have created a federal fight. If they've got evidence, they need to show it very, very, and I'll say it again, very quickly, because this is going to turn into an ugly fight if they don't.
The whole thing about dogs biting the mailman, that's just a stereotype, right? Well, maybe not.
The U.S. Postal Service just released its national ranking showing which cities have the most dog attacks on postal workers.
In 2020, more than 5,800 postal employees were attacked by dogs on the job.
Because I know you were curious, Phoenix ranks 14th on the list of states with dogs attacking mailmen.
I would say that this is something I wouldn't want to be a mail. I wouldn't want that job. A postal carrier, mailman, whatever. I wouldn't want to be a postal carrier for anything. The guys in my neighborhood, he's terrific. He's a very nice guy. But he walks in my neighborhood. He parks at one end of the street, walks up one side and walks up the other. It's going to be 190 today. Why would you want to do that job? Because they got to walk up, like my house, my mailbox is not down at the edge of the street where you can drive up to it. They got to kind of walk up and put it in my mailbox. That is a nightmare of a job. So dog bites are the least of their worries, but I had no idea that that many dogs were biting postal carriers. So do something about your dog. Hey, that's Did You Hear This? We will do it again tomorrow at 11:20. All the big newsmakers and news stories. A moment ago, Steve mentioned what's happening with the audit, and I think this is worth talking a little bit more about. I have been very outspoken about when I change my mind about the appearance of what this audit is doing. I want, and I want to be clear about this, I want what's best for Arizona. Before I'm a Republican, I'm an Arizonan, and I'm an American. And I, from my political point of view, I see this becoming a negative very, very, very quickly. You can blame it on the media. You can blame it on people's characterization of what's going on. But it's your job to dispel those myths. So I'm going to dive into a little bit of this, because what's happening with the audit, now you've got the Attorney General of the United States threatening other states if they try to take up the Arizona-type audit. Is this something that in the long run is going to be good for Arizona? And if not, what can be done about it? So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to do that here coming up in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. I want you to hear a little bit more of what Merrick Garland had to say. Merrick Garland is the Attorney General of the United States, talking specifically about audits in Arizona and other parts of the country that may follow suit with what Arizona did. And he was talking about fraudulent claims or fraud claims and how they've been refuted.
Many of the justifications proffered in support of these post-election audits and restrictions on voting have relied on assertions of material vote fraud in the 2020 election that have been refuted by law enforcement and intelligence agencies of both this administration and the previous one.
So nobody cares. And I'm going to be very honest about this. The reason why I was supportive of the audit when it started in Arizona was because both political parties have talked about the inaccuracies of elections, the ability for the Russians to influence our election, and voter fraud. In Georgia, Stacey Abrams will still not admit that she lost the governor's race. She was going to run. She's talking about a presidential run, or at least was, or being chosen as a possible vice presidential candidate, because many people in her political party believe that the election in Georgia was stolen from her. There are huge questions about the way we do elections. So I, in that regard, you are hypocritical to call one side crazy for wanting an audit or one side crazy for any of those reasons. So I had no issue. My problem is, and I do this for a living, we don't know exactly what they've done or what they found. So we've had other states visit here. Georgia and some other states have come here. Pennsylvania have come here with the express purpose of observing what Arizona is doing, with the hopes of going back to their state legislatures and getting audits in their states. Again, they have every right to do that if they want to. But here's my question. What do they know that the voters in Arizona don't? I don't believe when you send me, and I'm trying to be as nonpartisan about this as possible. When I have people send me on social media links to YouTube videos or Twitter articles on Twitter from some website blogger somewhere saying this happened in some political regard, whatever it is, I don't believe it. Right out front, I don't believe it. And so we need to see scientific data. And what we're seeing right now is Twitter is on fire with evidence and leaks. Well, leaks don't do any good. I'm sorry, they just don't. We have heard nothing from the leaders of this audit in which way they are going. And I want you to be fair for the people out there that have been following this audit and believe that there is wrongdoing that we're going to learn about. I want you to put yourself in other people's shoes for just a moment, because you've been there. Do you remember the countless amount of times that Adam Schiff, who is the head of the Intelligence Committee in the House of Representatives, do you remember the number of times that Adam Schiff said to the American people, "We have evidence that the president of the United States," and at the time it was Donald Trump, "committed voter fraud or committed, colluded with Russians. And we've got evidence that pretty soon the American people are going to see." And everyone on the right side of the aisle, myself included, stood up and said, "Show us. Show us your evidence. Let's see it." And they never produced it. And this dragged on for so long. And we said, "Where's the money coming from? Why aren't you focused on the things you should be focused on? What are you doing?" Those were legitimate questions from people on the right side of the aisle. So I mean this with all due respect to the people involved in this audit that believe they're doing the right thing, that see on Twitter and see in other places, we've got evidence. Bombshell. How many times have you seen, if you follow this on Twitter, that's what you see. They found this. It's coming out. Here's a video on YouTube of a guy that got a leak that this is coming out. And the rest of the country is saying, or especially Maricopa County is saying, show us. Show us evidence. Don't show us conjecture that because this happened or we couldn't find this or we didn't have access to that, that means this happened. That's coming to a conclusion without evidence. That's guessing still. You've got to show evidence. We demanded it of Adam Schiff and we never got it. And he was completely debunked and nobody believed him. And I don't want that to happen to the good people that believe what they're doing down at that audit. And I mean that sincerely. I don't want them to find fraud because I'm from the state of Arizona. I don't want to look like Florida when I grew up there and the hanging chads and everything else that was going on. I want us to look like we do what we know what we're doing and we do things the right way. The scary part of this is public perception. And what I've heard from many people, they're upset with me because of the stand I took about the audit being shut down or changing who you have in charge of it or whatever, is perception. That somehow the perception is being created by the media. Maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe there are people that want to inflate the things that they want to inflate. But what it doesn't take away from, what it doesn't do, is what it can't refute, is when there is something factual that happened. And I would say that when someone has a real concern, it should be addressed. If there are real things that happened, then you have to show us. And so far they haven't. But we've had legislators from other states come here and leave here saying, we want to do what Arizona's doing in our state. Well, what are they being told behind the scenes that we are not being told publicly? I will say to you that what this was intended to do has been handled wrong. When you say we are being more transparent and we are unbiased, I believe that. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that Ken Bennett, the guy that's running the audit, I don't think that man has a dishonest bone in his body. I don't. I think he wants to do an excellent job. But when you allow a documentary crew in that is already predisposed to believing the election was stolen, and that's what their documentary is about, and you allow them into film, instead of saying, wait a minute, what we are doing here is a legitimate audit. We have a job to do. So we're not allowing film crews in here. This is going to be a serious audit. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake. From an observation standpoint, it's a mistake. When you've got some of the things happening, the Twitter account, nobody will take credit for that Twitter account. Nobody will. The Senate president says she doesn't know who's in charge of it. It's somebody out of state. Ken Bennett, same thing. We don't know who's running the Twitter account. But what it's doing is inflaming the people without any evidence. This is coming. This is going to happen. So it makes people suspicious of the motives. When you hire a company like Cyber Ninjas, who are predisposed to believing that the election was stolen, well, then people are believing they're going to go in with an agenda. That's what's bad about that. And again, to be fair, if we, when I say we, I mean people on the political right side of the aisle, if the opposite side, you know, when the Secretary of State was anti-Trump, we say, well, how can we have a fair election when you are predisposed to be on the other side? Then you hire a company to do the audit that's predisposed to believing and have said it publicly that the election was stolen. You've got to at least look at the other side and say they may be wrong, but they have a point. And I don't think we're doing enough of that. We got some more before we close it out. We got just a couple of minutes before our Monday is over. We'll get to it in just a moment or two.
Sports Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, Steve, what do you say we just go to all sports programming? Why don't we just talk about the Suns for the rest of the show?
I'm not against it.
I'm not either. I'm very excited that it's nice to be a part of a championship run again. You know, the Cardinals, when they went to the Super Bowl that year, how great it was. When the D-backs won the World Series back in 01, it's just a different feeling in the city, don't you think?
Well, even if it's not a championship, I'm trying to temper expectations here. Even if it goes to the Western Conference Finals, which we know the Suns are in.
Yeah.
It's like when the Cardinals went to the NFC Championship game a few years back. Still exciting.
Yes, that's what I mean. The playoff run. When you are not only in the playoffs, but you are playing well. They've won a record 7 playoff games in a row, a franchise record. That is an amazing feat, especially when you knocked out the defending world champs and LeBron James in round number one, and now a team that you lost 2 out of 3 to in the regular season, you swept. They are on a roll. They seem to be peaking at the right time. They don't seem arrogant. They don't seem cocky, but they do seem supremely confident that they can play with anyone.
As good as the Suns have been, I know for a fact that people in the national media will be saying something along these lines, that LeBron had some injuries this season, maybe wasn't LeBron. Anthony Davis goes down with an injury in the middle of the Suns series against him. Then they face the Nuggets, who didn't have Jamal Murray, who's one of their best players, and they're certainly not the same without him. So I know that's going to be a narrative in the national media, but and I hate to take away from how great the Suns have been, because I think they've earned it either way.
They have, and Chris Paul was out with a shoulder injury for a while.
He was. Almost unusable in the first series against the Lakers.
And so I love what this team is doing. Monty Williams, I think, is I don't know that I've heard someone handle the spotlight as humbly as he does. It's just phenomenal to see this team good again. And let's be honest, there was anger in this town toward the Suns because the love for the Suns was deep. When I moved here, and it wasn't just because they were putting great winning teams on the court. They went to the NBA Finals where they played against Michael Jordan. Earlier in the franchise, they played against the storied Boston Celtics. They have put great teams on the floor with great players. I mean, when you look at Steve Nash and Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal was a part of that team. Think of some of the other names, even going all the way back to Connie Hawkins. But you look at some of the players that they've had on that floor. They've had some phenomenal teams. And then they've watched the team struggle for so long. There was a lot of hatred for the front office because the Suns were expected to be a winning team and just weren't.
Well, and if you think about it, too, of the 4 sports franchises in town, the Suns have been here the longest. They're the only one that didn't pretty much pop up in the last 25 years or come from somewhere else. The Cardinals came from somewhere else. The D-backs are really only like a little bit over 20 years old at this point. Same for the Coyotes, haven't been around all that long. So the Suns are the heartbeat of sports in the Valley.
If you remember, the Diamondbacks won the World Series in 01. And that was the because of 9/11, they played against the Yankees, so it was a big deal. But that was a focus locally. But nationally, we were still reeling from 9/11. So that was different. I think they're getting national attention. I know the NBA viewership has been down during the playoffs, and that's a shame. But this Phoenix Suns team is really good, and I feel bad for the people that don't know much about the players because they're easy to like. Devin Booker, you know, he gave away $500,000 or something this year to different organizations or whatever. He's just amazing.
Well, and Chris Paul's clearly likable. You see him in all the commercials when you watch the games. He's all over State Farm or whatever
State
it is.
State Farm commercials.
So, yeah, I mean, they've got tons of likable players. I saw the video today of DeAndre Ayton getting out of his car. Well, out of his car. He was standing in the sunroof when he pulled up to the airport last night, and everyone around the car is just going nuts.
And they are
great.
And Jay Crowder.
A fun player.
Oh, my gosh. He is the coolest guy to watch. How do you not fall in love with how much he loves to play? Fearless and just looks like he's always having fun.
I'll bet generally that the national media, a lot of people will jump on the Suns bandwagon.
Well, you know what? Last night after the game was over, I was watching the postgame show on TNT, and I was watching Barkley say that Chris Paul should have been the MVP. Hard to argue that after this series.
Yeah, he may not have the numbers of some of the other guys, but he certainly means so much to his team.
When you talk, and you talk about his leadership, Denver was a better team without the MVP last night.
Yeah, after he got ejected.
They were a better team without him. There's no way that the Phoenix Suns are better without Chris Paul.
By the way, I saw Chris Paul's assist to turnover ratio during the series.
Yeah.
41-3.
He missed one free throw last night. One. And he was like 7-for-7 for field goals for a while. Just an amazing. He led the NBA in field goal percentage this year.
Dude's crazy. I can't wait to watch
free throw percentage.
I can't wait to watch the Western Conference. I don't care who it is. If it's the Clippers or the Jazz, I don't really care. I'm jazzed about the Suns.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. And so good for you, Suns fans. Again, I am a newcomer. I've been here 26 and a half years, but I am a bandwagoner with the Suns. But for all of the Suns faithful, I'm so thrilled for you. For the ones that grew up here, Suns fans, to see the old Suns gear back out again is so cool to see people frantic about this team. It's great stuff. At Broomhead KTAR on Twitter, Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. That's how you keep in touch with me after the show. Have a great day, everyone. Until tomorrow, God bless.